Thank you very much. I have difficulty pronouncing his name too, but since he's not in the room, I think we're safe. So anyway, I need to mention also that this research was funded by the California Wheat Commission. And I think everyone realized that yield and protein content, both yield and protein content, determine the profitability of grain production, and nitrogen management is absolutely key. As was mentioned, the presentation today is about research that we've conducted in California, and this slide really shows the diversity of California. You can see it looks a whole lot different in Long Beach than it does in the Intermountain area of Northern California. So there's a discount for not achieving the target protein concentration in hard red spring wheat, and that target concentration varies depending on the area. In portions of California around the Sacramento Valley, 11% is the protein standard. In the Central Valley of California, most areas around 13% standard. And in the Intermountain area where I work and the grain is marketed in the Pacific Northwest, the protein target is 14%. So it's a real important target, and the growers suffer a discount if they don't achieve that target. If they're above the 14%, there's a premium, and you see the amount of that premium vary significantly in different years, but on average that premium is at $2.15. The way that's based is on a 0.25% change in protein per ton. So the average premium is $2.15 per 0.25% of protein above 14%. And then, not surprising, the discount is in yellow here, and the discount in every year is significantly greater than what the premium is, and the discount varies considerably. You can see it was quite a bit higher in 2010 with high grain prices, and the average discount that year was, or averaged over all the years, the average discount was $3.96 per 0.25% protein below 14%. So it's a moving target, but it's an important target for the profitability of grain production for the producers. So traditionally, in the Intermountain area, all of the nitrogen has been applied pre-plant. And there's several reasons for this. The first one is convenience. It's a lot simpler to get across the fields before the grain is planted and not worry about coming back later during the production season. This also allows for the application of less expensive sources of nitrogen. You could use anhydrous or aqua ammonia, which would be less expensive than urea or ammonium sulfate, which are also commonly used in our area. Also, proper incorporation of in-season nitrogen application can be problematic. You need to have rain or irrigation that occurs within a couple of days after the application. So the objectives of our research then were to compare the protein content of the most popular hard red spring wheats that are grown in the Intermountain region of California to see if there is a protein difference between these most popular cultivars. Also to assess the need for additional in-season applications to increase protein content in these different spring wheat varieties. You know, could growers achieve that target 14% protein with a pre-plant application of N alone? And if not, what other additional applications would be needed during the season? And then lastly, to evaluate different nitrogen management strategies, including different application timings and total amount of N applied, and determine the effect on both the yield and quality of the wheat. So these are the two different studies that we had. One was a cultivar by N timing and rate study. That was done in two different locations, and one was in Scott Valley, and the other was in Tule Lake, California, over 2 years, 2011 and 2012. And the second study was a nitrogen proportion study where we just had a couple of different rates, and we varied when the N was applied. Different percentages were applied at different growth stages through the season. And this conducted then first started in 2012 and then continued in 2013. Again, the two different study locations were at Tule Lake. You can see it's right there on the northernmost part of the state on the California-Oregon border. And then in Scott Valley, which is a little bit to the west of there. Tule Lake is 1,220 meter elevation. And actually, this is wrong. I've got the soils mixed up here. That should be the Tule Basin, mucky, silty clay loam soil for Tule Lake. And the Settlemyer loam was for Scott Valley. So those two should be reversed. That was the fault of my co-authors. The cultivar by N timing rate study was a factorial design, and the four cultivars that we investigated were Ecora Rojo, Hank, Fusion, and Malbec, and then we had seven different fertilizer regimes. So these are the different fertilizer regimes that we had. The first one was an untreated control. And then we had all the rest had pre-plant nitrogen application at 120 kilograms per hectare. And then we had other additional rates. You see treatment three there. We have an initial pre-plant application followed by 30 kilograms per hectare at flowering stage. Then the fourth treatment there, we had a pre-plant application followed by a tillering application. Treatment five there, we had a pre-plant application, tillering, and a boot application. And then the next one, same total rate, 224 kilograms per hectare, but the final application was delayed until the flowering stage rather than at the boot stage. And then our last treatment there, a total of 258 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, and the nitrogen was applied at each one of those treatment timings. So the end fertilizer was applied as urea and incorporated with sprinkler irrigation within 24 hours application, and just shows the type of apparatus that we use to apply the nitrogen. The grain was then harvested with a plot combine. Subsamples were collected, and we determined protein content and test weight. So one of the most striking things here is the difference in yield potential between the two different areas. Scott Valley, the lighter textured loam soil compared to Tule Lake. The performance of the varieties differed slightly too between the two locations. Hank is a very high yielding variety, does well, but as you'll see, the protein content is quite a bit lower. What's also real striking is the difference in the protein content between these two different production regions. Protein content was far greater in the Scott Valley site. Again, 14% is our target, so we achieved the 14% with two of the varieties. Then in Tule Lake, you can see we didn't achieve, average over all the nitrogen rates, we weren't close to our 14% target protein rate. So with a higher yield potential, we're having an extremely difficult time meeting that 14% protein target. So this is the effect of nitrogen regime on yield and protein content. This is for Scott Valley. So you can see with our untreated, the protein content was very low, about 12.4%. With our pre-plant application alone, is there a pointer? I'm having a hard time. Here it just came up. It wasn't coming up before. So anyway, in our application where it was just pre-plant, our protein content was just a little bit over 13%. Yield was statistically different with the check and the other treatments, but the other treatments were all statistically the same for yield. And then to get our protein content above the 14%, that required 190 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, and it was a pre-plant and tillering application achieved that, as did a pre-plant tillering and flowering, or our last one out there, the all four application times. But you can see it required a rate of at least 190 kilograms per hectare and multiple application timings. These are the same results, but for the Tule Lake site, the site with a higher yield potential, you can see the yields are significantly higher. What's also real interesting here was that, you know, averaged across these four varieties, even at 258 kilograms per hectare, we never achieved that 14% protein target at the Tule Lake site, even with all those different application timings. So the second phase of this study then was to look at a fertilizer proportion study. We had 0, 168, or 280 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, or we had threw in just a single rate at 392 kilograms per hectare to make sure we bracketed the rate necessary to achieve protein and high yields. So the different proportions we used were all applied pre-plant, 80% pre-plant, 20% at flowering, 60% pre-plant, then 40% at tillering, 60% pre-plant, and then 40% tillering, 60% pre-plant, then delayed, and the next application, 40% of the nitrogen went on at boot. Then we have 40% pre-plant, 40% tillering, and delayed the extra 20% at flowering. The next one is 40, and then 40 at boot, and then 20 at flowering. And then the next two, we had zero pre-plant at all. The first application was made at tillering, where we had 40% at tillering, 40% at boot, and 20 at flowering, or we went ahead and had 80% of the nitrogen at tillering and then 20% of flowering. And these are just what I described previously. Those are the different rates that went on at the different application timings, but it corresponds to the percentages that I showed in the previous slide. So you can see for yield, there was a significant year effect, timing effect, and rate effect. But there wasn't a significant year by timing effect or year by rate or timing by rate. And then last one, bushel, is a significant year effect, timing effect, rate effect, and year by timing effect. and year by rate effect. This is the yield averaged over the two rates. So I didn't include the highest rate, the 350 pounds per acre. The 350 pounds per acre actually didn't yield as well as some of our best timing for the 250 pounds. So I think we're in the appropriate rate range here, and 350 pounds or whatever that was in kilograms wasn't necessary. What's real interesting here, here's where 100% of the nitrogen, I should say this is averaged over the two rates and averaged over the 2 years. So with all of the nitrogen applied pre-plant, 100%, here's our yield level. When we delayed and applied 20% of that nitrogen at flowering, our yield dropped. When we had more of that nitrogen, delayed that application, 60% at pre-plant, 40% at tillering, our yield increased. When we had 60% pre-plant, then we didn't apply at tillering and went ahead and applied at boot, you can see the yield dropped down somewhat. And then when we had 40% pre-plant, then 40% at tillering, and then 20% at flowering, our yield bounced back up. Our lowest yield of all plots was 40% pre-plant, and then we delayed the next application until the boot stage. The next one, zero pre-plant, and then went on 40% at tillering, 40% at the boot stage, moderate yield. And our highest yield of all, surprise to me, was zero pre-plant, 80% at tillering, and then 20% at the flowering stage. So the take-home message here is that it appears that pre-plant is not that important, but a tillering stage application is absolutely critical. Here are protein concentrations. So I put in red all of those treatments that resulted in a 14% or greater protein content. You can see that wasn't achieved at any of the rates in any of the years with nitrogen all being applied pre-plant. So we really needed to apply more of that nitrogen later in the season. You can see when the system was backloaded and more of those applications occurred either at the boot stage, at the boot stage or the flowering stage, we were able to achieve our 14% target with quite a few of those treatments. So to summarize then, there were large differences in yield and protein content between locations and also between the different cultivars. It's more difficult to obtain the protein goal under high yield conditions, which occurred in the Tule Lake Basin compared to the Scott Valley area. Pre-plant application of nitrogen alone was insufficient to reach that 14% protein goals. In this study and others that we've conducted also, it was just about impossible to get that 14% with a pre-plant application alone. We need supplemental in-season nitrogen applications to reach our protein goal. But the proportion of N applied at different growth stages had a profound effect on both the yield and protein content of the wheat. And it appears that nitrogen at tillering time is most important for achieving maximum yield. And then secondarily, late season nitrogen is essential to meet our protein goals. Compared with a pre-plant application alone, there's a clear economic benefit from applying more of the nitrogen later in the season in terms of both yield and improved protein content. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
Yes.
How soon after tillering do you get nitrogen on? Do you get water on those?
I should have mentioned all these plots are sprinkler irrigated. So we have a consistent irrigation schedule throughout the season, and we would apply the nitrogen and then irrigate within a day after we made the application. Immediately after. Almost all the grain there is either irrigated with wheel line irrigation systems or with center pivots. Yeah. So we're not relying on rainfall at that time of year for incorporation.
Well, you stole my question.
It was a good one.
Yeah. Okay, so that concludes our session this afternoon.